Guys. Hi.
Hi.
Remember, when was that? 6 months ago? 6 months? I don't know. Remember when we were young 6 months ago and we did a...
No, it's like 5 months. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It don't matter. Look, you don't come here for time. You don't come here to have a strict adherence to time. Me and Bianca fell in love. We started to fall in love.
Yep.
And we cut it off before it got out of hand. We were like, that's enough of these questions. I'm falling for this bitch. And, but there's a second half to the New York Times questionnaire of how to fall in love with somebody. There are a total of 36 questions. We got through 21 the first time, which is exactly half if you're doing math.
Hey.
And, so now we're back, and I remember last time, while we didn't fall in love, exactly, at least I didn't, I know you didn't either, because there hasn't been a lot of screwing, and you know that I love you if I screw you. But we got to know each other.
We did.
We liked each other more.
Way more.
As a matter of fact. So that's something. So let's take that energy, and let's go into part two. Of Neil and Bianca fall in love.
Bring.
This question, I think we should alternate. And good thing it says alternate.
Yeah, good.
Alternate sharing something you consider a positive characteristic of your partner. Share a total of 5 items.
You go.
I think that you're funnier than I give you credit for.
That's so good.
That's worth 2, really.
That really is. I think you are highly intelligent and very good at pattern recognition and intellectual. And I don't think people give you enough credit for that.
Huh. Thank you. Well, intellectual is usually a bore, which they do give me credit for that. fuck, I didn't know I was going to go again. I was noticing earlier today that you have excellent teeth.
Oh, thank you.
Especially with that lip, with that shade.
Yeah, with the dark, the light.
Forget it. Make them pop.
Did you write these down? Because I wrote mine down.
No, I didn't write them down.
Okay. I feel like you, let's see. Okay. I feel like in a very particular way, you're extremely open-minded.
Uh-huh. I know what you mean. Until I've made my mind up and then it's shut.
Well, no, it's just like if you tap into the same vein as your logic, if someone can be like, no, but this, you're really, I
yeah,
feel like
oh,
you're really
you
fair
find
to be like,
fault, okay, be like, yep. Yeah.
And you don't, sorry, you don't put your ego in front of it. You really will just drop it if
yeah.
it plays the kind of same logic game as you.
I was going to say that in a similar vein, number 3, because it's compliment number 3, that you are... You're more logical than I give you credit for. Excuse me, I got choked.
Wow,
up.
Can't even say
I
it.
I got choked up, guys.
Can't even.
You're more logical than I give you credit for. You're not, and then you are.
Okay, I don't know about that compliment.
It's,
I'm not.
They're similar.
They're similar.
You're more rational than most women I've dated. Because I'm not. I don't think we're dating, but this is not a normal relationship.
No, it's not normal. That is a really good way to put it. And then, okay, I'm 3.
Being partners with me in any endeavor, your life will flash before your eyes multiple times. It is a contact sport.
It is. It's not easy.
I got a trail of ex-partners that will attest.
I know. I'm like calling up Moshe for
life
advice.
Oh, gee, I wouldn't
even
think about Moshe. Absolutely.
Okay, you have an insatiable thirst for...
This is a fortune cookie, or this is something...
This is my compliment for you. You have an insatiable thirst for knowledge about knowledge, love, and self-improvement.
Thank you. Knowledge about knowledge.
You have a thirst for knowledge about knowledge.
Interesting. Give me an example.
Okay. You like knowing why people... are the way they are in a lot of respects. So I'm trying to think.
I like, want to steal their secrets. It's all under the guise of self-improvement. It's 100%. All for that reason.
It's all for wanting to, you know, be better, be smarter, be come across as all these things. So I think you find a really smart person and you try to figure out.
And I vampire them.
And oddly enough, you shit on it a lot, but you really are looking for love and eternal life in kind of the same amount.
Yeah.
You don't know if it really exists. You don't know if you ever get there, but you're never going to.
Yeah, I have no idea if that's for me.
Right.
But I mean, yes, it's more happiness.
Happiness,
than yeah. But the thing when people go, are you love avoidant? No, like I'm not love. I want love.
Yeah.
It's like when married people act like I'm sick because I'm not married. It's like, all right, you have this great thing and you think that I don't want it.
Right.
Because I'm sick. I'm too sick to want this amazing, the best thing that can happen to a human being. I'm so sick. I got so much bile coming out of my pores right. That's what you're telling yourself is that I don't want that. It's too much.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Fuck him. Finally, my final compliment for Bianca.
No, you have two more.
I don't got two more.
Okay, fine. Cutting one out.
You're interesting to me. You say interesting things to me on a podcast.
That's actually a nice compliment coming from you. You don't find everyone interesting.
No, I don't find almost anyone interesting.
Wow. You are very generous. Mm. Very, very, very generous. You're the poor man's Mackenzie Bezos.
That's right. I only have 70 million. Where she has 70 billion. If I had 70 million, I don't even understand.
How much would you give to work?
I forgot to talk to you to mention this when Rock was on.
What?
Because it's such a testament to how crazy he is and how functional it is. He didn't know how much money he had.
Ugh.
Until he got divorced.
Oh, okay. Yes.
He literally never asked how much money he had until he got divorced. And I was like, what, dude? And he goes, Neil, what good does it do me to think of myself as rich? Mm. Now, we both know the answer to that is, well, you could maybe enjoy your life more. But that's not what he's here for. He's here to to think he's under attack and then strike back with a good bit.
Yeah.
I don't know how much money he had, but actually I did, but I'm not going to tell you. But after a certain point, it's like, what are you doing this for? Mm. Now having said that, I'm only generous if I've recently received money. Like, there are points where if I get like a profit statement or whatever, and I'll see like, then I'm that weak. I'm like fucking.
Yeah.
Licking my finger a lot. And then 2 weeks later, I'm like, I can't. I don't think we're going to shop. You've really been hitting the Amazon hard. So thank you for noticing my generosity.
Yes.
Just mention it at my funeral.
It
when
will
people
do.
Are shitting on me. And talking about how cold and mean I was. I
wonder what Will's going to say.
No comment.
Will is a fan of my directorial movie, The Goods. I just found out. So,
yeah?
Pretty big deal. Saw it in the theaters. Thanks, Will. Got me nothing because I didn't have points on it. Doesn't make a difference if you go see it. Next question. How close and warm is your family? Do you feel your childhood was happier than most other people's?
Yours is. Well, listen to the first part.
Yeah, if you listen to the first Falling in Love episode, I read through my mother's rules which made your mother cry and made Jimmy Carr tear up. So, yeah,
so sad.
A stoic Brit was brought to heel. He pulled over on the side of the tram. I can't remember what they call it over there. The motorway.
Tube.
So sometimes I think I overstate how I grew up. Like sometimes I'll have memories and I'll be like, well, that's fucking, like, we had a pool. You wouldn't think, you know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't think we had a pool. I never used it because I would just go to work because it wasn't worth it. It just wasn't worth, like, I moved to Philly in eighth grade. So I was only there for 5 years. Mm. So, like, I didn't get a license because I just didn't want to fuck with my dad's car. I, like, wouldn't use it. It was just like, fuck all this shit. Close and warm.
Different
the things. Category is close and warm. Not that close, but a little warm. Certain people I'm warm with.
Not those sandwiches. Listen, I can't get
right.
Over.
Yeah.
Can't get over that. To me feels like coldness.
It is coldness.
Well, they were cold technically, yeah. But the act of that whole rule board,
yeah,
that feels so cold.
Yes. Yes, it was like a group home. Mm. But the same family. But then I think it's like, am I being a dick by saying, am I being self-pitying by saying, like, it's like a group home. Like, no, people, I don't think me and Tiffany Haddish's upbringing was
right,
similar.
Right, no.
You know what I mean? Good. Like, yeah. That's real pain and squalor and, I don't know, squalor, but real pain and like almost no, she didn't have a pool and nothing positive.
Right.
Do you ever hear her on the Champs? It was like the best. It
I
was
think like, I ha- her, I'm sure
it was
have,
really like
remember.
A coming out party for her. And it was all anguish.
Yeah.
It was just all like bad, like abuse. And
how do you interview when someone's saying such like just fucked up stories? How do you guys,
well, people thought I was being too funny with Rock.
When?
On our episode.
Really?
Yeah, because I was laughing at how awful some of the shit he was saying was.
Yeah.
But I'm laughing at him for not admitting it was awful for 50 years. Until I was like, it seems awful. And him going like, what? So, yeah, I don't... I think with you... If someone knows that you've been through similarly bad shit, or you can ask the questions. It's not, and you know how to ask it, meaning you know what, you take it from their point of view. Hmm. And like, that must have been awful. Instead of like, tell us.
Right.
Without being like a anguished tourist about it. And I, happier than most people? No. No. But there are plenty of people with significantly less happy childhoods.
Okay. So
millions and millions and millions. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
it's hard.
It's hard. Again, you can't compare. This is a Rock argument we used to have where he'd be like, you're a rich kid and all that shit. I was like, you know, so compare growing up in Brooklyn to Africa. You had it great.
Yeah, there's always.
It's like, something. And then Africans go, but what country? Like, there's just, you can get worse and worse and worse.
Yeah. So I had a split parent home or growing up situation. So both very close. Just
you were close with both of them.
Close, yeah. And the dynamic is close. There's no room to really be distant. You know.
Were your mom and dad still close?
Hell no. Hell no.
Do we know what happened?
They haven't really agreed. I've never really gotten the full story, but a lot of miscommunication, a lot of some bad choices in retrospect. Some bad.
From both of them?
I think so. I think people are being petty and hurt feelings, and people went to their respective corners, and then life
did some
moves
dumb
on.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But so always close and relatively warm. My dad's less warm sometimes, just really stern, stoic, immigrant, Middle Eastern guy, yeah. You know, Persian guy. But had a lot more money. So, you know, it's like I went skiing every weekend. We were with him in the winter. Like, that's very nice. You know, yes. I'm not going to go. There's not that many black people on the slopes.
Right. That must have been very painful. Tell us about that.
That was not, that was, I, you know, me and my brother made it work.
How do I ask about pain? This is how. Talk to us.
And he talked.
Tell people what it was like to skiing while black.
First of all. Anyways, and then my mom's, you know, definitely not like that, but still found, you have fun when you're a kid. You'll figure it out.
Okay, if you were in a divorce situation, do you think it behooves the richer person? I mean, I guess you're constantly jockeying. I was going to say, do you think it's not good for the kid to go from rich wealth to poverty?
No, but
me, like, I one get weekend, it. Like, it, like, I should the it, richer person be like, fucking give, like, let's smooth the difference. It's called smoothing.
Well, now they do that where it's like, oh, the kid should not feel a difference in lifestyle. Yeah. So that's when a lot of,
it's a horrible trauma, a difference in lifestyle.
That's when a lot of,
that's a lot of settlements are that.
That's a lot of settlements that are huge.
Yes.
Is because, about
90 grand a month for events.
Right. So I will say my therapist thinks that my OCD comes from that stress as a kid, being in, like, every week being in a completely different environment and household. Mm. I don't know. I think, you know,
yeah,
sometimes therapy feels like a crystal ball.
I've started referring to therapy as a place I go and recite my problems. Now I'll do a recital of my issues and nothing. I'll just do that for years.
No, my therapist is like, gives some, I don't know if he gives me some advice. I don't know if they're supposed to give advice.
Yeah, I mean,
not advice, but yeah. Just he will, I get a lot from therapy. He's great. He doesn't just, I have friends that are like, how did that make you feel? Tell me about that. Yeah. Did you like that? What was that like? A lot of that shit. No, mine is very, a little more aggressive.
Yeah.
I like it, whatever. But he made, and I won't go into it because it's kind of a long thing, but he made a really good argument that he thinks at such a young age going into, when I tell you 180 opposite households every week for like from 4 or 5 to like 17, it's just really formative.
Yeah.
So
same school though.
What do you mean same school?
You.
Oh yeah, we didn't. Yeah. No,
they live near each other.
Yeah, relative, not near, but same city.
Not near. Yeah, like your dad was nowhere, wanted nothing to do with where your mother was living.
It wasn't that bad.
Lock the doors, kids. We're going to pick up Bianca.
Shut up.
This is a very funny one.
I didn't even see this one.
This is right up your alley. How do you feel about your relationship with your mother?
Oh my goodness. Well, she's a feeler, so I feel great. It's a little complicated. I love my mom very much. Uh-huh.
But she should have been richer. No. You gotta deduct points right there. Right there.
No. Our relationship is really complicated. It's just a really complicated relationship. Like, we get along and we also really want to get along, but I think I over worry about her, and I think she feels like I'm very controlling to her in particular. So I think she feels like I don't let her.
You don't let her smoke dupes.
No, she be smokes cool. dupes, but she feels like I parent her.
Interesting.
And I feel like she needs
a parent.
A little bit of a parent.
That's
so
funny.
It's interesting.
Because usually when that happens, it's because the parent asks for it.
So she asked she would, for it. Oh,
but
she
you,
asked
right.
for it.
So it's your interpretation of what asking for it is.
I really try to not. I try very hard to not, but it's just like, there's times I'm just like, what are we doing? And it's a weird switch that happens sometimes. I think it always ends up happening. You go from, you know, being parented to parenting. Like if they're really old, it's like, no, mom, eat your thing, you know, whatever. But I don't know. It's, everyone's not that old. So I think she finds it a little overbearing. I'm trying to be careful here.
Yeah, I got it. That's funny. That's, I wouldn't, the only people I know with that problem, the parents are real fuck ups. Meaning drug addicts, drunks, like real. And it becomes part of the dynamic. I don't think she is.
No, she's not a drug addict.
That's what I'm saying. It's I've rarely heard it about from two ostensibly healthy people.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also, I don't doubt that it happens.
I just, you know, well, I'm not going to put my mom on blast.
Yeah, I got you. No, I got
but, there is a reason why I do it, you know, and she has reasons why she thinks it's probably a little bit obnoxious. So
it's, yeah,
it is what it is. Wait, well, what are you going to do? What about Therese?
You know, Bianca, it is, you know, the I always say my mom, the thing about I did my best and all that stuff. I think there it like she did. She's married to an alcoholic, abusive alcoholic.
Yeah.
So her options were limited in terms of behavior. So that's fine. How responsible can I hold someone whose mom died when she was three and was carted off to separated from her sisters and dad? It's like, what do you, so how stern can I be?
Yeah.
Like, even the amount of kids she had was like, she never wanted to be alone again. Okay. I can't argue with that. I know as a person, as an adult in 2020, that's kind of faulty logic, it was like a half thought, but. So you go back to her, then you go back to her mom, and then the people before that. And these people are illiterate, living off the land. They're like cave people. And it's not that long. It's like three generations. And you're into like illiterate, probably violent men, no school, kids working. It's like, why? What do I expect? Like, how much can I expect as a person to, I need you to be, there's not going to be like this great exchange and understanding. The problem comes when you go, all right, well, what does that make me? Meaning, what am I composed of now? And what do I do about that? No kids. That's why. No kids. I mean, that, but honestly, I feel like, well, what am I, if I focus on the worst parts of myself, or maybe I get like a horrible emotional diagnosis, but just like you are love avoidant, you are dismissive, and then it's like, well, I get why. Now what do I do? Like, narcissism is a disease that the patient is happy to have and never recovers from.
Yeah.
Never. So that's not, I don't, I, if I'm narcissistic, I think it's on the mild end. It's very hard to overcome shit like that. It's very hard to overcome like an emotional set. Like, this is how you're set.
Mm.
We say like heavy set for fat people. He's heavy set, as if there was no, they were just set that way. He had to be 400 pounds. Okay. That was the setting he was on. So if I'm my emotional set, that's where all the pursuit of this shit comes from, is knowing where I'm, what the setting is, and just trying to fucking nudge it off of it. And to varying degrees of success. In some parts of it, I nudged it probably 25%. Some parts it's like 3. I'm not trying less. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't. It's like if you were going to build yourself over, I'd keep, obviously, my work ethic and my sense of humor.
Right.
And my aesthetics. But the rest of it, my emotional approach is like, oh, I have no attachment to that.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, people my mom's generation feel like attached to their. It's like, well, that's how identity. I've done it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's tradition, everybody. Like, we've met here every year. It's just a dumb superstition or tradition that I've never had, ever. Like, I started going to therapy when I was like 23. I was like, I'm not fucking married to this shit at all.
Yeah.
But the problem was, in some ways you are.
Yeah, in some ways you are. You are the, it's really hard. It's just kind of getting self-aware and nudging. It's really hard to be like, I'm a new Neil. Yeah.
Whenever someone says, I've changed, like,
No. It's just like when people are like, at the store, like, no, we're good tippers. We'll take care of you.
Yeah.
Mm. No.
No, you wouldn't mention it.
You wouldn't.
Good tippers don't mention it. They just do it.
It's true.
So that's how I feel about my mother.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Number 25. Make 3 true we statements each. For instance, we are both in this room feeling
blank.
Blank. I will say we're both in this room feeling connected.
Okay.
Do we alternate?
Yeah, we'll alternate. We both, so it said for instance, so I'm not using the we both in our room.
No, you got to. Okay.
We both enjoy the world of comedy and have unique insights.
Mm. Mm. I'm going back to the room. We're in this room. We are both in this. We statements. We enjoy, I would say enjoy doing the podcast, even though it can be a pain and we can have flare-ups. Argumentative flare-ups.
You get some flare-ups
that we've gotten better at getting through just and getting past
and just letting it live in the past. We both pay attention to / hate the same kind of cringe behavior.
Great. Although I do not like the word cringe.
There's no better one.
We disagree.
It's like, what's the better one?
Embarrassing,
yeah. But the problem with cringe is like, it's that like,
but
it's not necessarily.
Find cringe makes me cringe.
Cringe makes me cringe too, but sometimes something's not embarrassing. It's just cringy. Like a word someone keeps using. It's not necessarily really embarrassing.
No,
thing
but if you're a big enough snob, it is.
Right. But then somebody else, it's just like, God, can you stop? Like, just stop. It's not necessarily embarrassing. I feel like cringe is cringe too, is personally, and embarrassing is. No one
I hear
wants.
You.
I don't
but
know.
I don't, but I would argue that
we can just use it for both. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I would argue
I
that
just
everything makes me cringe. It's like
everything makes you cringe.
Yeah. It's like when people go, you're basic. It's all fucking basic. Most of everyone's behavior is basic. And thirdly, I was going to say that I hope people do these themselves. Because like that thing I just said about rebuilding myself, I've never thought before. Literally never thought that before. And I'm like, that's a worthwhile thought.
Yeah.
So I hope that we both feel like this is valuable.
Yes. Okay. And I said, we both enjoy documentaries.
We do. So. By the way, there's one that I should have talked about last week, which is Dick Johnson is dead. You never know when it's going to happen. Dick Johnson's dead. It's on Hulu, I believe. It's on Netflix. It's this woman filmmaker, DP, made. It's kind of defies explanation, but her father's dying.
Oh yes, okay.
And
Netflix.
It's just really. It's an abstract documentary.
Cool.
That
I do love that.
I don't even know what the premise is exactly. If that makes sense, there are scenes where I'm like, I don't know why this scene is in the movie, but I'm glad it's in the movie.
I've seen a few. They're more like art housey.
Yeah.
Docs. Did you ever see My Winnipeg?
No.
It's like that.
But I did see The American Ruling Class, which probably similar. It just defies.
Yeah, it's hard,
like,
to.
I don't even know how to describe it. But there's like monologue. It's just crazy. It's great. It's abstract and like, yeah. But the Dick Johnson's dead is fucking super cool. And very sweet. The guy's just a very sweet man. It's also nice to see parents and children love each other, even when they don't have anything in common.
Yeah.
They just don't have a ton in common, but they do love each other and it's not strained at all. That's beautiful. Complete this sentence. I wish I had someone with whom I could share. That's a good one.
My humor with. And I mean it like, not like I wish I have had that, but that's important to me that you can be funny together.
Do you find that you often don't have that?
No.
Or that's the downside of being single?
No, it just, I think that is a criteria.
I see that as in a relationship, but at the same time, if you said this in a relationship, it would go badly.
What?
I wish I had someone with whom I could share.
Like just your type of humor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's weird. Why is that weird?
Because we were dating, it would be a problem. If you were like, I wish I had someone. Oh,
No, but that's the problem with the question is like, I wish I had. It's like.
Right. Well, but I think this is a.
I forget that it's.
I'm going to answer.
Okay.
But I'm going to answer it and see if you can re-answer. It's not about what's important. This to me is like, I wish I had someone with whom I could share a thing I can't share with other people.
Oh, okay. Like my porn preferences.
There you go.
That wasn't my answer, but I'm just,
no, it's
like
answer.
Something.
Too late, bitch. It's your answer.
Just something that you generally don't share. Not necessarily
yes.
what
and
you
And it doesn't
want
have to be like a secret. It's just a thing that you, it's a rare, like there are people that I've met, Blake, the first time me and Blake met and texted, I actually said, you can't make these kinds of jokes like this around NBA players, can you? And he was like, I can't. And it's very exciting. Meaning he's very, he's funny. He's like funny for who he is. He's very funny. So it's fun to be with somebody that's like as funny or funnier.
Right. You're not the funny guy.
Yeah. Like like somebody will hit the ball back and then I hit the ball.
Yeah. Volley. Love it.
What I would like to share, guys. I mean, it's science fiction, but I wish I could just download from a plug or a disc or a drive, thumb drive, whatever kind of drive, whatever, however you want to get it off me.
Floppy.
All of my experiences and feelings and logic. Meaning, so that someone doesn't.
Okay.
So it's just like, there's no
question.
That would
help you out a lot.
Yeah, it would help me immeasurably. Because I seem weird. And I'm like, I'm telling you, this is a true thing that happened. And this is a true way to feel. And I feel like misunderstood. Not in a way that's. I just have had weird experiences, like 10 kids, like just shit like that. That's just not common.
Yeah.
That I wish people could like, and then I would feel, I guess, less judged inherently, even though people aren't judging me. I'm like,
yeah,
I would feel less judged. Floppy, by the way, is the biggest play in the NBA.
What the hell is that? Underhand?
It's a floppy. It's like a set. It's an NBA set. It's like the main NBA set. Like the main play, like what they do. Basically, every NBA team runs some version of floppy. At its core, a floppy action is one where the ball is at the top, a shooter gets under the basket, and two screens are set on each side of the lane. The shooter can choose the left screen or the right.
Oh, everything's floppy.
It's the whole league is floppy. It's just floppy. Floppy-ass league. Except for the triangle.
Okay, how often is the triangle played?
Well, not anymore. I don't think anyone does triangle.
What about the flying V?
Flying V, no one's heard of.
Okay.
You didn't answer the question.
Oh, well, on the fly, I guess. I see a lot of. I've seen so much very subtle, hilarious shit. I mean, I've traveled so many places.
Uh-huh.
And I think I'm good at explaining a story and telling a story, but I would love. There's just things you cannot explain.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that. I would love the ability to kind of taking your floppy thing, be able to just share, just revel with me how fucking funny this is. Some things lose their je ne sais quoi when you explain them and they're not funny. So it would be version of humor, funny scenes that I see in my life.
Great.
Fantastic.
Comedy's a big one for her, guys. She works at a comedy club. She does a comedy podcast.
With the comedian.
If you were going to become a close friend with your partner, please share what would be important for him or her to know. That's a weird question.
I know.
If you were to become a close friend with your partner, please share.
Close friend.
What would be.
Just like
this is for people that are not in love, and this can help you fall in love. So let's assume that these are two strangers.
Okay, strangers, go.
I would want him or her to know that if I'm being annoying, it's for, I believe, a decent reason. Meaning, I'll find myself sometimes like with someone I don't know very well, talking a lot, and I'll be, but I'm talking a lot because I'm afraid they're not going to talk, and it's going to be. We're both going to be bombing.
Don't be afraid of the silence.
Early on, I'm very afraid of the silence, and everyone is and should be.
Oh, whatever.
Because I know, but I don't. That's an example.
I get
meaning
why.
I think as a guy, you kind of got to MC a little bit.
Mm.
You kind of got to like keep it moving and hey.
Look what we got.
Yeah. Women didn't invent magic tricks. I had that thought this week. That's a guy's invention.
Yeah, we did. We fucking gave birth. That's pretty, pretty magical.
No, you don't seem like, duh. So if I'm being, but if I'm doing something, it's not against you. It's not nefarious. It's just because like, there's a reason. There's a reason. It's the same issue from before. It's like, it's not what you think. Here's all the experiences. I can tell you my logic of this and don't feel and I want them to accept it. Mm. And, but I don't, I feel the relationships I've had, I feel like they think I'm doing things. They take everything personally. Mm. Like, I mean, my friend Molly one time said that women are narcissists and take everything personally. Which I think is kind of true. Like that she inspired the joke about when you don't pull a chair out for a woman and the girl's like, you're not ready to be a father. Like, how did you...
No, yours was get a bag of chips, didn't offer me.
No, that's a different part of the same episode. Okay. But that's exactly right. Like, I don't... It's not... I'm not a fucking automatic piece of shit. There's a reason why I didn't... If I don't put the seat down, it's not because I'm trying to dunk you in the toilet. Mm. It's because some other... I may have been doing something positive.
By leaving the seat up?
Maybe because I peed on it.
Well, why'd you put it up in the first place?
No, I'm saying if I put it up, it's not because I'm a fucking asshole. That's my point is, like, it's not because... Well, you're not thinking of me. Yeah, I'm sorry. When I take a leak... I'm not thinking of you. I'm sorry. But I don't think that makes me an automatically a bad person. And I think that that's the thing that I, as a guy, die by the power of the men. That I deal with. That it's nothing personal. Nothing is personal. Yeah. Other than when it is, which is, you'll know. Yes, I'll let you know. This is personal. So.
I feel like... Okay, sorry. I feel like I would say I'm a very supportive friend. And I can be a bit loquacious. Can be a little talkative. When my, like, ADD kicks in. And I'm not moody. Not very moody. Just chill.
Let me see. We're going to ask the judge if that's true. Moody. You used to be moodier.
You are difficult. I'm sorry.
I know. And you
I'm just not that moody. But in general, but I'm going to be straight up with you, Neil. I love you. There was an adjustment period I need to go through. There were some times where you're the one of the only people that I've experienced where I'll give a compliment to you and get an insult back. I've never experienced
magic
that kind
tricks.
Of magical. So there are just things that kind of threw me off in terms of your communication style. That was like,
you know, my style, one compliment and one insult out. I have to keep the balance.
Yeah, life fell.
I have to
life
force. There's only room for I only have so many slots. A comment goes in and it's all that to go
and
out.
It happened enough to where I was just like,
I don't know.
I can't take this personal.
I can't think of it's, a situation, though I totally believe you.
I have so many.
I completely
to
believe
where
you.
I'm just like, okay. There was just adjustments that I needed to go through, and I'm not making excuse. I just am. I swear to God, I'm not moody. I'm just not.
Fine.
I know I'm not, and you're fantastic, and you've challenged me on how to communicate with you better and to keep my cool when you're pissing me off.
Great.
Cool. Love you. I'm in love.
No empathy. You will receive no empathy from me.
Okay.
I feel like we just did this, but tell your partner what you like about them. Be very honest this time. Saying things you might not try to say to someone you just met.
I said so much at the last one.
I know.
I have like one or two. Or, might have wanted this one.
Seem like I can fuck? Go ahead.
No. You have nice arms.
Thank you.
Give me a physical one. Give me a physical one.
Oh. Nice boobs.
Boobs.
Boobs. Boobs. Next question. Share with your partner an embarrassing moment of your life.
Okay, whoa. So I was actually, I've had so many embarrassing moments.
Mm-hmm.
So many funny kinds that could be in the back of like a 17 magazine where they'd be like, embarrassed. I don't know, you probably didn't read 17, but they would always have a whatever. And you know,
I dated a lot of really young girls. Go ahead.
And I could not think of one because, of course, they asked the question. And I'm like, fuck, what are my hilarious, embarrassing stories I always tell at parties? And I blanked. So this isn't the best one, but it embarrassed me very deeply. There was a bum. Sorry, hobo. Sorry.
No.
Homeless. No.
There you go.
No. Houseless.
Houseless, yes.
That's what we're saying now.
Yes.
There was a houseless person.
Home free.
Not homeward bound. So there was a houseless person asking for change. Anything can help. So nice. Pulled at my heartstrings. I walked by. I said, you know, here you go. And, you know, I gave him my leftovers. So I'm like, do you want my leftovers? I'm like, yeah. Money, leftovers. Thank you so much. Walked away. And there's a lot of people around. And he just yells, your pussy smells, bitch. And I was like, I wanted to die. My pussy smells? And
was he on the ground?
Yeah.
All right.
How did you know?
Because
he didn't get a whiff.
Now he's got a case.
Yeah, that's the problem. And that's when I had to stop myself from saying, no, it doesn't. You know, like defending myself against this guy. But it was just when someone yells your pussy smells, it's just it's like a hard thing to defend because it's rude.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you go into a conversation?
Yeah, you can't be like, all right, I'm going to address this crazy person.
But they embarrassed me so deeply.
Do you think he was talking about you?
I think he was a lunatic, schizophrenic Looney Tune. Like, thank you. You're my name. Like, it was, there was no rhyme or reason, but
Tourette's.
It hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go back and take my feedback. That's my burrito. That's my wet burrito. Okay. But yeah. So
speaking of wet burrito,
your pussy smells.
Maybe that's what got him.
Vaginas.
We got a lot of euphemisms for him, guys. Embarrassing moment.
That doesn't star Jerry O'Connell.
Oh, that yeah.
Not that.
Embarrassing. I mean, you could almost go by era.
Okay, do a known Neil. We know you kind of. People know you. That's more funny.
This is the thing that made me think of the homeless thing. Keith had to go to the bathroom like at 4 a.m, which he never does. And I was walking him, and there was like a homeless guy under, like right by my house to the, like, a place they never usually are, and it scared the shit out of me. Like, fucking, I was not expecting it, like a ghoul. And so we go down to where Keith goes, and then I'm like, we gotta run back because I can't fuck with this homeless guy. So
you ran.
So we're running basically past the homeless guy, and because who knows what he would. He might have eaten me. I mean, like, I don't know what I'm even afraid of.
Right.
But, and I trip basically in front of the homeless guy. And the funny thing was, it was like a movie because I kept my eyes open. So it was like a POV shot that like tilted. Like, homeless guy, now I'm like, I turned the phone and kept my eyes open the whole time. And it was so, and he was like, oh, I'm sorry. And it was like, then he had to apologize.
No.
And I had to play it off.
What'd you say?
I was like, I gotta go.
Oh, you didn't say like, don't feel bad?
No, he didn't know I tripped because of him. He didn't know I was running because he didn't know any of this. But the fact that I kept my eyes open fucking made me laugh.
That's
really
so
hard.
Funny.
And then what's an embarrassing, that most of them are just about like thinking I was going to get a compliment and it ends up being like a trap where I'm thinking like, oh, this is good. And then it's like, and then Dave Chappelle was there. I'm like,
oh,
like, okay. Like, I thought it was going to be about me being cool. And it turns out, but little off. But it happens. It happens so much sometimes that it's like funny.
You're like, not offended.
No, I'm offended. No, it's just, it's you can't get offended. It's just like bad luck. Do you know what I mean? It's just like a bad, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, what can I do? It's like, if I think, and then it's like, here he is, and then I'm ready. And then Dave steps out. It's just like, I can't get mad at the audience. It's just one of the, even right now, it's a little embarrassing. You're like, yeah, what are you going to do? Like, what I, but, and that's the thing is, I don't get, it's just like, what are you going to, there's just nothing I can do about it. It's just like that. It's a funny position to be in. It's objectively a funny position to be in.
That's why I don't wave to people in sunglasses. Like, if someone in sunglasses are waving, I don't wave. That was more of an issue on in college.
Didn't know that they weren't waving at you.
Yeah, and it happened once or twice, and I was just, no, I'm never going to put myself in this.
Yeah.
I'd rather them be confused than me be confused. But it's more like on college. College was campus.
Yeah.
But it just feels very presumptuous and embarrassing and not good.
Yeah.
But I feel like yours probably is worse.
It's not, it's just one of those things like where Rock will be like, stop bringing it up. I'm like, I don't bring it up. Mm. That's the thing that I can never explain to him or Dave. It's like, you guys don't understand. If you're not there, I'm the guy that people recognize. You know what I mean? Like, so they think I'm like, hey, everybody, you know? And it's like, no, I don't. If you're not. So if people point and go, hey, what's Dave Chappelle like? It's just a little, it's objectively funny. By the way, you know who would, no one finds it funnier than Dave Chappelle, because it flatters him and it's hilarious.
It's so funny.
But there's just like, what are you going to, it's like, well, that's what happened. That if people know me, it's from that thing and then three mics. So what am I going to, so that's, what embarrassed, that's my, how I define embarrassment.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When did you last cry in front of another person by yourself?
Go.
Last time in front of other people was ayahuasca.
Mm-hmm.
And by myself was during the George Floyd-y era.
Okay.
I think at one point it just got to be too much for a person
for
with testes and white skin. No, just I wasn't crying for me. It was just sad. It was just like sad. And I also am very touched by groups of people doing something. Like I can't, it's just touching. Like there's something so immutably human and beautiful about it. Like there, the collective is amazing. But if you go too far, you're China.
Let me see. I think I was watching the news with somebody. I cry at the news.
You do?
It's sad. Yeah.
Like
the 10
like
o'clock
a lead
news.
Story. Like there was a fire. Sad.
Yeah. If they interview the people and they're all just beside themselves.
Yeah.
So sad to me. I don't like it.
See, what's great is I just see them as characters on TV. Characters in a story that's not real.
You do, because we were watching something and the news came on and I don't know, you just called back like the title of one of the news segments for so long. I was like, okay.
Well that's, I'm making fun of the production
people.
I'm making fun of the
tragedy. I know, but there's, you find other things funny. You can find something else. You can find the silver lining in the news. By myself, it's really sad. My friend, you know, there's people you just know, and this was on Facebook, but just anyways, you know, I just know, I don't know if you do this, but you follow along with someone's life that they have no idea you're deeply invested.
Like a mutual, a friend of a friend?
Friend of a friend, or a person that you like don't even keep contact with.
But you pursue knowledge about them, or it just happens to come to
no,
you?
No, you pursue.
Like in a hateful way?
No, in just something about this is interesting to me.
Like a particular scenario of their life? This will be my last question because this is infuriating like, what I'm doing.
No, just following along with their life. Something about it intrigues you enough that like if you just were like, Chaz Bono, I need to know what she's doing.
Oh.
He, sorry. Or, you know, you go down a rabbit hole with somebody from college. I don't know.
I know what you mean. You know what's funny? There's a guy that I went to college with who is a doctor in Houston. And I did a show in Houston. I dropped out after a year. Anyhow, long story short, he's in a Peruvian ayahuasca retreat video.
Wow, really?
And this is one of these things like we were never that close.
Did you reach out to him?
No, because I don't know how to get in touch with him. But it was like, is that that guy?
Yeah.
Because I didn't see him for 20 years and then saw him again and then saw him once in 2012 or something. And then, and I was like, are you the guy who was vegan? And he's like, yeah. He was like vegan
before
at college.
It was
yeah.
cool. Yeah.
And he kept a food journal.
That's weird.
That was because I had a fucking really funny joke, which is, his food journal was like, me eat two eggs, me get big. It's in college. It's fucking good. It was 18. So I was like, you're the me two eggs guy? He's like, yes. And then he's in an ayahuasca. It's a guy that like,
so
we should be
you
friends.
You basically are following in his
yes,
footsteps.
Yes, we should be friends. And just it's just not happening.
Well, there's a girl that I knew. Haven't talked to in a gazillion years. And it's so sad. Her son, he was 4, had cancer, and she would just post updates. Usually I avoid that shit like the plague, but this one got me.
Yeah, because they're gonna get you for money. Go ahead. No.
And I just was following along on his journey, and it was so sad. And
having no idea how it might end.
I mean, there was like, it was looking good.
Yeah.
And then when she announced that he died, he was 4, he was 5 when he died, it was so sad.
Yeah.
It was, obviously, that's very sad. It was just, I found it weird that I was crying like I knew them and they were my family and I knew him and I cried forever. And even if I like explain the story, I'll cry. Like, and you know what I did, which was really weird? I went on, you know, those helpful Honda guys? I wrote, this woman, her son died of cancer. Because she still, after he passed, she had so much of his medical bills to pay still.
Yeah.
For years, I think. And I just felt bad. Like,
that's great. Something to remember him by. You know what I mean?
It's like when they send like victims the like cleanup bill.
Yeah.
So I just felt so bad. She had to keep paying his medical bills after he died.
Did the Honda guys help?
They never responded. Not very helpful.
Yeah, unhelpful.
But that's just so sad. So sad.
Yeah. Yes. Another fucking tell.
What?
Tell your partner something you like about them already. Like what? Why do you want us to keep doing that?
Come on, come on, guys. Come on, guys. Guys. Come on.
I'll say that I like how you don't. I don't know if it's intentional, but that you do not fit a mold of any kind.
Aww,
in terms of how you live your life.
Yeah.
Meaning you're not really pressed to like, I need to find a husband.
No.
Or you don't really need to do anything.
Yeah.
Which is rare, I think, for a fertile woman.
I just feel like it'll happen if it's going to happen. And me stressing about it is not going to help. It's funny because I forgot which one we did and didn't do.
Yeah.
So I went all the way back. I just did most of set two and three questions. And the one, it says, what roles do love and affection play in your life? And I thought about it. I'm like, love is never my focus.
Yeah.
It's never, ever been my focus to like get a guy, get a boyfriend, get a partner, grow, build. Maybe that's not good. But
I don't. But if it's not your MO, that's you can't make it your MO. You can't.
I can't.
Like, brain, we got to like that. You can't make yourself be. That's the thing that I want to say to people that are judgmental about any choice someone makes, right? Yeah. I mean, unless it's drug, unless it's like weakness.
Yeah, overly like destructive. Yeah.
But even that is, you can't really force yourself to do something you don't want to do. You can't. You can't do it for long.
I don't, it's not that I don't want to do it. I think if I focus on it, it's A, not going to happen, and B, not going to be what I want.
But doing it in a premeditated way is, that's where it's like, I'm going to find love, like, this year. What? This year? What are you even talking about? Like, how do you decide in this calendar year? You sound like a crazy person.
Yeah.
You sound like a reality show person. A game, reality game show. Husband show.
A lot of people are, though, very much.
Well, that's your asking
girls,
to get divorced.
A lot of girls.
Yeah, you're just,
I have friends that
divorced.
I'm just like, I can't focus on it because it's, if you focus on it, it's depressed. There's only one time in my life I've ever been like, I need a boyfriend. And it's because the guy
the
just
prom.
Yeah, right. I went with a girl to prom. So I didn't have to be committed to one guy.
I got it.
Hello.
Look, we all got it.
Okay. My mom thought I was like, are you lesbian?
I actually didn't get it at all.
So,
you were pressed to find a guy, have a boyfriend once.
Because I dated a guy who, and I'm the coolest person to date. I am never, you got to bring me here, come to my friends, think, no, man, that's you, that's me. We don't need to blend them unless we really got to fucking blend. You know what I mean? I'm very averse to just being in a super serious relationship. And I dated somebody who had enough trauma going on that, I mean, I was doing nothing. We saw each other once a week. And he wanted to do this. It wasn't like I was pressuring him. And he would always say things like, I feel like this is going so fast. I'm like, we hang out once a week. No, it's not. I don't even call you my boyfriend.
Guys' excuses have no tie to reality. It's so goddamn funny to me.
The problem is it would be like pursue, push away for a week. A month, like drinking my bath water, push away. And it was the first time I had experienced that. So after a while, I'm like, just go. Won't answer the call. 100 phone calls. I'm sorry. And this is that. Okay. I fall back into it. This is going too fast. It's too much. I'm like, yo, dude, what do you want? So when we broke up, mind you, breakup was, I just stopped answering his phone call and he stopped calling after 2 weeks.
He still thinks you're dating. Go ahead. And he still thinks you're dating and it's going too fast. I wanted me to tell you.
But after that, I think the reverse psychology of telling me when I was doing nothing wrong, you want too much from me. We hung out 2 days a week and then I took it down to one and it still was weird. So, after that, I think I got in my head. Maybe I do want a boyfriend. I just got in my head for a period. And I, guess what? I tried so hard to get a boyfriend. Didn't happen. And the guys I was trying to make it work with, we weren't that compatible. It was terrible.
You can't reverse engineer it.
Lesson learned. I remember one guy was like, I'm not looking for anything serious, but you're good at this. I was like, fuck, I can't get a boyfriend.
That's funny.
So I snapped out of it. I went back to normal Binky, but it really did fuck with me for a second.
Regular Binky.
Just regular, same old Binky. I think I didn't tell you something.
Oh.
I didn't tell you.
Go to your list.
I think you are, tell your partner something that you love about them already. You're so much more goofy.
Yeah.
It's, you're a very funny, goofy person. Mm-hmm. And you're not ever goofy on stage. Mm-mm. You have like, the basis is sometimes the point of view can be silly, but
yeah.
You're not goofy on stage at all.
Because it doesn't.
I don't get it, because it's so funny.
I know, but it's.
You're better at being goofy than a lot of people.
Of course, but I find it.
Of course.
But I don't mean like, of course. I mean like, yes, but there's a certain thing in comedy where they won't.
Respect you?
No, it's not in comedy. It's the audience. Mm. It's like, I don't want that from you.
Who? You don't want that from the audience?
In my case, the audience does not want that from me in particular. When I do it, I'll get like 20% of the crowd to laugh.
Really?
Which is like, you can't, that's no margin.
No.
That's not a good margin. That's bad.
Those are terrible margins.
And then there's certain people that like Chris DiStefano, this New York comic, he has a podcast called History Hyenas that they release a lot of clips on him and this guy, Giannis Pappas, and fucking really funny. But Chris is so fucking funny on the podcast in a way that's almost impossible to be on stage.
Yeah.
Like, it's all this, like, I'll tell you what, he's like over cranked and like, it's Anxiety Tuesdays, hon. And you almost can't do it. Because I said to him, I was like, dude, you got to figure out a way to take
that.
D'Elia actually figured out a way to get his sillier inside podcast jokes to his onstage person.
Good. He is good at being silly. But you know what? I would argue D'Elia has a different challenge. He can get away with a lot because he's like commanding of the room.
Yeah.
And so you immediately want to be down with what he's...
Yes.
Down with what he's...
Yeah.
For example, when I'll see Ian take the stage. And I mean, like when I first started and D'Elia didn't have like this crazy, I mean, always very popular, but as crazy of a fan base, and just can take the stage and command attention. Whereas let's say Ian has to earn.
Yes.
He has to earn the fact that it's like, oh no, I'm actually funny as fuck. And by the end of it, you'll know.
Yes.
But he has such low energy.
Yeah.
That, so I feel like you're somewhere
in the middle
of like,
and I know that there, it's just trying to figure out what people, I don't even know how people view, that's the other problem, is I don't even know how people view me in terms of if someone comes to see me, I want to go like, what do you think is going to happen?
Are you yelling at them?
No, not what do you think is going to happen, but like, what have you seen of me that you like? Because it's like,
Neil, come on.
No. I don't mean it like hell.
No, I mean it like,
did you see me on the Daily Show, which is like a very prescribed political metaphor thing? Did you see me on the Breakfast Club? Did you see my Twain speech? Did you see Three Mics?
But Neil, you're more consistent than you're giving yourself credit.
I'm not. Oh, like they're like, all kind
they're
of the same.
Kind
thing.
Of not the same, but similar enough that if you like one, you'll like the other.
Yeah, I'm with you. I guess it's like, I think the people, what people like about me is like fucking unique thoughts and good metaphors. Like if I had to pick. So I don't know where silly plays into that. I can be silly in the margins.
Yeah.
But I can't be silly in the middle of a thing about Black Lives Matter. You know what I mean? Like the problem is I talk about relatively heavy things. So it's like.
But I think you're way silly. You're silliest the most on this podcast.
Of course.
But a lot of people who like you listen to this for that. You know, it's like they know you.
Yes. Yeah.
I feel like you can get away with it more, I guess, if it's your show than a blank canvas.
A showcase
audience.
Show.
Showcase? What do you mean?
Like that's what the store is.
Oh, yeah. Showcase, yeah, exactly.
9-12 people.
They came for two of them.
Yeah.
Three,
I don't.
Maybe.
I do fun crowd work in person.
Yeah.
Like, but that can be silly. But I know what you mean. It's just, it's hard to know how to integrate it.
Yeah. It is. It's also because I feel like your silliness works in our conversations a lot.
Yeah.
Then just you
on
your own,
say,
just
like,
being like,
soundtrack ah, Macy. Yeah. I literally can't. You just like, there's no time
oh
or
my
even.
God, that's, no.
It's,
no.
It's, that's the thing about stand up is it is so prescribed in terms of like, you have this much space and this, you know, you have that people only accept a certain.
Right.
Type of thing, or else the it's just diminishing returns. There's a HBO Max, or no, it's on Netflix. I want to say it's called Jake or something, where it's a girl playing a guy doing a stand-up special that Poehler directed, I think.
Is it real or scripted?
It's
or
real. It's a, I mean,
or a documentary. They, sorry.
It's a stand-up thing.
Is it documentary?
No, it's a stand-up show. Yeah. Natalie, it's called Nate is what it's called. But, and that's one of those things where like, it works, but it's not getting big laughs. Mm. It's like silly and abstract and like.
Some of the abstract.
Artsy, but it's like, I can't.
No.
It's like, it's got a black barbershop rules. Has to work in a black barbershop. Or at least try to work in a black barbershop. So what, if anything, is too serious to be joked about? That's easy. Black barbershops. Next question. Nothing.
Really?
There's nothing.
Okay.
That is too.
I know your answer would be nothing.
I mean, people were mad about a Megan Thee Stallion joke, and then. What's funny is you liked it when you heard Chris made a Megan Thee Stallion joke.
No, like, I didn't. No, I didn't like the joke. I didn't like the joke necessarily.
You like that we both made a Megan Thee Stallion joke?
No. Do you want to try for another guess three?
Tell me.
No, I laughed at the absurdity that he said that to her.
Yes.
We shouldn't say what it is.
No.
But it was almost like, wait, he really asked her that shit? But one, to her face.
Yeah.
She didn't like it.
Yeah.
You know, there we go.
Right, but I'm not just saying.
None of it was the content of what, it wasn't like that was so funny. It was just some things.
I thought it was fucking hilarious, but.
Oh no, I just, I it's like a.
Yeah.
Eric Andre on the street. Yeah. It's just, it's like the absurdity of. The person's reaction or like, I can't believe he said that. That's kind of funny. That wasn't like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, as a comedian.
Well, you, nothing is funny
you
to you.
You can't.
I mean, nothing's off limits.
Yeah. You can't worry about, because if I think about it long enough, I can figure out a funny angle.
Okay. But what I, as a non-comedian, was thinking about was, okay. I haven't heard many, maybe you do, but like 9/11 jokes, I mean, it's not that funny. Have you heard any good ones?
Yeah.
Okay. Mass killings, mass shootings.
Mass shootings.
They're not.
Again, not it's that not funny, impossible.
You know? No, but it's like,
yeah.
What's the, to yeah. be, it just feels like, I'm going to be edgy. Nothing's off limits to me. I'm a comic.
If you're
a black
that,
church getting shot right. up is like,
of course not.
I don't know. I wrote mass killings.
Mass killing a black church. Absolutely. But did I tell you the
system.
Joke that my buddy made? I didn't even know him. And he told me a joke he made, a black guy made after the space shuttle blew up, which is, he's like, you know what this means? White people singing gospel, which is fucking hilarious.
Right.
Like, it's not, is it? If it's abstract enough, I just don't.
Yeah,
I believe that if there's a, Chris had some good school shooting jokes. Dave has a good evacuation joke about like, well, if you're teaching the kids how to evacuate, you know, the shooter's here. Like, that's a fucking good, like, right. It's not impossible.
I guess we have to say, who's this subject? Is the subject the people who are dying kind of, it's well, a lot harder yes. than.
Of course, yes. There, but then it's like, is that a joke about that thing? It's when people go, don't joke about one. It's like, yeah, but if you have a good enough comedy brain, you can figure out
who to make it so that everyone
laughs. Yeah. Like, I would trust Stanhope to do it. I would trust Jeselnik or
but
Dave
we
or,
could just say, maybe if you're not, sometime. maybe, if you're not one of like a trusted headline comedian, I wouldn't, I just think there's different levels. There's different tiers to what you can joke about. And just that's like big leagues. It's like,
yeah, but
shit.
Those guys did it before they were famous.
Did what?
Make jokes that you're not supposed to make.
I feel like most people who aren't famous make the jokes you're not supposed to make. It doesn't
they
mean,
make
are they
the
good?
Shitty jokes you're not supposed to make.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Unfamous List made the joke well before they were famous.
A good joke.
Yes. That's one of the ways you get famous is you can figure out a way to be funny.
Yeah.
Or Jim Jefferies. Or like there's guys that do it, or Burr or whatever. Like there are guys that can do it.
But most, we're talking about the greats when they weren't known. So
yeah,
of course
but
they
Patrice
kind of,
did a joke about a 9/11 joke, which is like in November of that year, somebody got pushed in front of a train. And Patrice was like, New York is back. It's fucking hilarious.
That's, yeah, but that
I
is
know,
abstract.
I agree,
I mean?
But he's not famous. It's again, it's like, is that a 9/11 joke? Yeah. Yes, yeah. But
it's more of a
it's,
New York
and
joke,
does someone
yeah.
die? Yep.
It's. I think I'm trying to make like a.
There's just no hard fast rules about it.
Yeah.
Because you can, you know, Steve Harvey on Seinfeld show said a great thing about. As comics, we have the joke, the day it happens.
Right.
Just when are you guys ready to hear it?
That's true.
It's like we don't, and that's him who doesn't even like play that game.
Right.
Like, but we have the joke. Our brain already came up with the right. joke. It's just when are you pussies ready to hear this joke? Like, but it's our, unless it's directly affecting, and even if it's directly affecting you, it's like your brain will still shoot out a joke.
Right.
A big, beautiful joke. If you were to die this evening with no opportunity to communicate with anyone, what would you most regret not having told someone? Why haven't you told them yet?
Go.
I'm pretty direct. I'll say that.
But has there been anything you haven't... You've avoided... Like, not avoided, but you haven't... You haven't been in a position to say to somebody that you would like to?
No, well, I mean, I've got too many vengeance ones to count. I've got too much vengeance. We don't have, you'd need a second
Lady
podcast.
Lady Vengeance over here. Yeah.
I don't even include that. This seems more like not having, in some, here's thinking about this question earlier, I was like, I would want to tell people that they were wrong about me, but it's like everyone, you know what I mean? But so at which point you go, are you sure they were wrong?
Right.
So I have all this shit where I could go like, you shoulda, I don't know, man, I don't, maybe not.
Yeah.
But there's nobody that I don't, it's also worthwhile. Is it worth telling so-and-so that he hurt my feelings? You know?
Yeah.
For what? And then it's like, just so you know, look, I have some news. First news is Neil died. Right. Second news is you really disappointed him. Like, you know, what? There's nothing positive that I haven't said to people.
Yeah, I thought about this question and I was like, well, there's a few family members that I have bones to pick. But I feel like if I'm dying.
Yeah.
If you're, it, I think it should be positive communication only.
I agree.
And what I wrote was negative. I'm like, no, I didn't like write it. But every bone I had to pick was a negative thing of someone who's done something towards me, who's wronged me.
Yeah.
And then when I think about it, if you're dying, just fucking
focus on the bad.
Focus on the axe.
Get the axe and keep grinding to the last. I want my last motion on earth to be grinding my axe.
Yeah. So just positive things.
Yeah. And do you feel like there are a lot of positive things you haven't said to people?
No.
Yeah,
like
I don't
saying,
either.
I'm I like not, saying positive things.
Yeah, me too. I think you like have to.
Yeah. You can be generous with that.
Especially
don't have money.
In a thing that's, I always try to be positive to people in showbiz. Like if I like something, I like get the person's
say,
number.
Hey, great job.
It's blank, blank. And I literally make them guess who blank is and what blank has to say. Number 34. So me and Bianca are two
cool guys.
Too great to be negative, but you want to go negative. But it's not like tell my mama. She knows. They all know. Your house containing everything you own catches fire after saving your loved ones and pets. You have time to safely make a final dash to save any one item. What would it be and why?
This was hard, but I think there's one photo, the only photo of my mom and my dad together. Not that that matters. It's just a really cool photo. It's very 80s.
Have you gotten it digitized?
No, it's one of those 80s, like, Olin Mills.
Sure.
And it's like, canvassy and it's like my dad profile and my mom's in his thoughts.
Yeah, yeah, of course. It's a classic.
It's so amazing. And the wood, it's just a really nice frame, solid wood. So I would say that.
Well, what I would say is tonight, take a picture of it with your phone.
Right. No, I have one.
Okay.
But I would like to get it digitally. I don't want to undo it.
Yeah. I mean,
because it is in it's in like a solid.
The original?
Yeah. It's in a solid.
This might be crazy. You might be able to improve on that Olin Mills frame. Again.
It's tight.
Pie in the sky.
It's pretty tight.
All right.
It adds to everything. It's part of the like dissolve in the head.
Yeah.
And a modern frame would look weird.
Okay.
We'll see.
You know, they up in Palo Alto, they have a garbage day. You could probably find a
Santa Clara motherfucker.
My computer, my passport.
You don't got a cloud?
Very, no, but
how
that's
about
the
Keith?
Thing. No, oh, okay, he, okay, I he's got already him. Out.
What about your photo of Obama?
I got digis.
Okay. How about your...
My Bowflex? Good.
I was going to say one. Bowflex.
Good call. Yes. I wheel it out because I can do it because I'm strong enough. Because I've been working with a Bowflex.
Isn't there... I feel like you have some nice commemorative things. Isn't there one you cherish?
I've got to say, I'm not that big on commemorative items.
You have
find,
a million in your house.
Yes, but I don't... That's a fake out. I do that to get you off my scent.
A lot going on.
I don't, with my 2004 BET award, I don't care. None of it means, or my Writers
Guild
award.
Your shrimp?
My shrimp is funny. Like the shrimp I would get. I'd get this set.
You better. Will, where are
I'd
you?
I'd get our set and... but there's not that much. Even when people lock their door, I'm kind of like, how much are TVs worth? $150?
Come on. Stop.
What are TVs worth now? A used TV?
You don't want someone in your 60 house.
60 inches. $150. I saw an ad from Best Buy that said, come pick it up. It's yours. You don't even got to pay. They got so many TVs.
Is that their new slogan?
That's so
come
much.
Pick it up.
Yeah, so I guess my passport. I can't really think of anything that I would want. Like I don't have any items that are irreplaceable. And if I have like a trophy or something, I have a prop from The Goods 2009 car picture.
Are you going to give it to Will?
I have like a prop arm that everybody signed. It either feels braggy or unnecessary.
So you'd
trophies,
be fine if this whole three, four story
light it
thing.
On fire right now. I won't break eye contact. I just don't. Am I don't know. Like, I no, there's nothing that I would absolutely.
Your Soda Stream.
Well, but I can get a new one. There's nothing that I can't get a new one of, and the trophies, I never think about.
Okay, like, okay. So now it's because I want you to play the game. You can't replace anything. You can only replace like a very small amount of stuff.
Okay.
Stumped him. Let's say like computer,
yeah.
Phone.
No, have, yeah, I figured that. SodaStream. I'm going SodaStream. I'm going SodaStream.
I knew
SodaStream.
It. I'm falling in love with
him. I need
him.
It. I need this water so bad. Bubbly water makes you burp, and it's
he loves
hilarious.
The burps.
Oh, it's so great.
Loves the side burps.
Of all the people in your family, whose death would you find most disturbing?
Just like this question. Gets dark at the end.
Disturbing.
Isn't all death disturbing?
Whose would I find most... Well, all right, I'll play the game.
Come on, play the game.
Which is how your dad died. So my dad died too.
Yay!
But less so, somehow.
he was already
your
dead.
Your dad died more. Who you ever wonder, like, how am I going to react if such and such dies?
Yeah, I try not to think about that, but yeah.
I think about it all the time. Any free moment I have. That's a good, it's a worthwhile, like how, okay, let's talk about, let's say our moms died.
No.
I would cry, were I to cry, it would be for the limitations of her life.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And that's now over.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's a line in the movie Affliction, which is the greatest drinking addiction codependence movie ever. And there's a line where woman says, she's talking about a woman who's married to an alcoholic. She goes, people like her go through life with the sound off, which is like, woo. By the way, speaking of the sound off, if you watched Sound of Metal, the new fucking, I started crying. There's a point where he starts losing his hearing, and it was
I saw
terrifying.
It was scary.
Yeah.
It gave me anxiety to watch.
Yeah, it's really scary.
I was like, fuck.
I would cry. That's why I think I would cry. Is for, and again, maybe she, to her, it's not.
No. For her, she's like, I'm old. I did a good look at my kids.
Yeah.
Look at my life.
Yeah. So that's why I think my mom's death, I don't think it's close, would upset me the most. And I would think that would be true for everybody in my family.
I guess for me it would
or in
be,
any family, really.
For sure, I'd be very upset, obviously, my mom, but I guess my little sister, because I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have any little. I don't have any younger.
Yeah,
so.
Younger. It's like you're not supposed to die.
Yeah.
Before me.
Yeah, I get. Yeah, my niece and nephews.
There's something just. If it happens, I'm
absurdly unfair.
Yeah,
that's when a young person dies. It's like, boy, this is fucking. As a guy who's been falsely convicted of murder twice in past lives, this is not fair.
Dude, Kevin Nealon has a fucking hilarious joke. Has a hilarious joke. I'm going to butcher it, but it's something like, you know, at the morgue, you hate to see some, like an adult with braces. I don't, it's very, it's
Kevin
so,
Nealon's fucking so funny.
He's
and
so
it's all, you couldn't predict what he was going to, what the joke was going to be about.
You can never, or that one, he does that whole thing where the audience basically fills in the blank for half the joke.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, who's telling the jokes here?
Yeah, yeah.
So he just has a likable, just a lot of charisma. You know that like,
yeah,
that,
but
like,
it's sneaky.
Really sneaky.
Because he's not, he's like the lead on a Matt LeBlanc show.
It's sneaky. It's almost
he's
like.
He's one of the only, guys who's hosted Weekend Update that you forget
it's true.
Hosted it and was good at it.
It's because he's almost like the someone pulling a coin out of your ear.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah, that's so funny. That's his humor is very
yes.
fun, like, surprises.
You know what else? His problem is he's not 28. It really helps in comedy to be 28.
Okay, but everyone got reintroduced to him on Weeds. Then right. He had a whole
no,
new...
No, of course. No, I'm not saying he doesn't have... He's got
no,
a great
I'm
career.
Saying I think if you... He doesn't have... Once, if he got a project that was a primetime project, I think he'd be everybody would re-fall in love with him, you know?
Yeah, but that's where the age thing comes in, because it's like Matt LeBlanc's 50-something too, but he was Joey, so
yeah,
no, rules don't apply.
Yeah, really rules don't apply.
Neilan has some of the best single jokes. Mm. He has the best Caitlyn Jenner joke I've ever heard. Which is yes. Caitlyn, he's like, I saw Caitlyn and I knew Bruce before he died. Which is fucking hilarious and true, because he used to play golf with Bruce Jenner.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, before he died. That's what happened to him. He died.
He died. Bruce did die.
Caitlyn gets to live in his house and keep all his money. Share a personal problem and ask your partner's advice on how she might be able to handle it. Also, ask your partner to reflect back to you how you seem to be feeling about the problem you have chosen. Bianca, honey,
can you
why
start
are you doing this?
Why?
Problem. Well, the problem. The book writing is still a problem.
What book writing?
I talked about writing a book last
week. Yeah, so what's the problem?
Well,
what's
just
the problem, honey?
I can't write a snitch book.
Yeah.
But as I said earlier, I have a unique experience on Earth.
Okay.
But I don't know how to write about it without talking a lot about... Dave would be the only person I'd talk a lot about. And it's a lot of it's private. So I just think I just can't do it.
How am I supposed to help you with that?
Tell me what to do. What would you do?
Write a children's book and make an alias for everybody. But right. Just tell everyone that, like, look, the most famous people in the world, their characters in the book, then everyone will buy that book and try
to figure
out.
I know, but again, I don't want to play that game of like, ooh, I have access to these people. Like,
Neil. What do you want? Don't write the book.
I can't. I know.
You can't.
I can't write it. It's a shame. It's a sham.
That was a tricky.
Well, that's the only problem I have.
I'm joking.
You got other problems for me?
I'm joking. I'm going to ask a dating advice, because everyone else asks us dating advice and I never ask you. So I always end up in the same situations, right? Meet a guy. He's a little overly anxious at the beginning. I counter that with massive amounts of support and emotional generosity. They take
at the beginning. What are they?
A bit like of an anxious attacher.
Okay. They're like desperate.
Not desperate, but like just very
metabolism often.
Yeah.
Text,
they
gotta
eat. They
gotta
eat a lot. But not so obnoxious, but I don't know if they're hiding it. But it eventually it's like a lot of emotions. And then if I like them enough, I will counter it with support, emotional generosity, reassurance. It's all good. You might scare me away, though, so chill. And then it becomes kind of a... It becomes, you know, a stereotype in our relationship where I am the giving one. I can be very emotionally supportive. And they end up always taking it for granted. And somehow I become the ugly fat chick. Not like they don't treat me right, but the way they take my niceness for granted is so weird, because it's like, you're kind of fucked up.
Right.
I'm being really great for you.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going without a lot of nice things in relationships, which is having a little bit, like a little bit of return on my investment. Yeah, exactly. And then I bounce somehow. It just, or it ends, or they break up, whatever. Always in like an emotional tailspin that they're going through. Mm-hmm. And then I'm not going to say they always regret it. I don't know. But it always is like trying to get back. And it just is like this cycle. And I'm like, you know, first couple times it was them. Now I'm like, I think it might be me. I don't know why I, like, am I over extending myself emotionally at the beginning too much? Like,
you're, to me, you're establishing the rules of engagement. And once you've established the rules, those are the rules.
Mm.
I find people, the amount of intimacy because of sex that two strangers like find themselves in, like, you wouldn't be like this with a woman or a guy if someone paid you to be like this. Like, you, the same, a person you're not sexually attracted to or getting sexual gratification from, you wouldn't
deal with any of this shit.
Yeah. So I don't think that's how people should behave, but I think people should maybe think about behaving like that a little bit. In that case, like, how would I treat a new female friend who was acting like this? You'd be like,
bye, you got issues.
Yeah. Look. So I think you've got just treat it, throw some of that in the Barbie.
Let's throw another boundary on the Barbie.
Yeah, for real. Like, just throw about a little bit of realism of like, what?
Like, nah,
I'm doing that.
No. Yeah.
And the thing that you, as much as we joke about red flags being attractive, I think they are.
I know. I was thinking about that because I was just like, fuck, they actually aren't. They all give me a lot of anxiety, but I've been single for so long. Like, I only started doing more serious relationships not that long ago, but compared to everybody else. Long ago, but not that long ago compared to everybody else. Like, people have long-term relationships in their like early 20s. You know, I avoided that. Yeah. So I think for a while I just was like, is this what people do? I guess this is how to be a good girlfriend, is to be cool when someone's freaking out and be nice and kind and try to help them through it. Now I realize there's a lot of energy suckers out there. There's a lot of people who will cling on to you for dear life, but also suck your energy and also call you manipulative, like all this bullshit, right? So now I'm a little, when a red flag comes, like, I get a little hot under the collar. Just like,
they're never not what you think they are.
That's not gonna go away.
One of the problems is you have to nip shit in the bud. You have to date someone for a week and then basically say, I don't want to date you because you're fucking weird. You have to figure out a different way to say it, but that's what, and in some ways it's almost dispiriting if, as a person, where you're like, I'm just fucking writing people off left and right.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, you gotta write them off. Yeah. There's no other, it's two bad options.
Yeah, either they are uncomfortable and upset or you are fucking in a silent hostage situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just a waste of time.
Yeah.
It's, unfortunately, it's like, oh no, that's a waste of time.
Yeah.
I'd get my pussy ate from the back, everything.
all the things.
But all your stuff. You know your stuff. But you just would, it's just not worth the trouble. There's a thing in LA where when projects are going, when like you got a movie that got greenlit, that's, people treat you like you've got some magic, you're a warlock, right? But the people will agree to projects because they just want to be on a boat that leaves the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And they, so want, you want the makeup, thing of like, I'm a viable person and I'm on a boat. So as dating people, you want to go, I'm on a boat that's leaving the harbor, but they all, most of them sink. So it's like, just don't get on a boat. Yeah. You seem weird, but pick. Or yeah, either get on boats and bring a fucking life jacket because they're all going to sink, or just don't.
Don't get on boats.
Or just be selective about what boats you get on.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. It's like there's even times when I've been extremely selective and it's like, oh, it's sinking? No.
Yeah, even the ones that you don't think are going to sink are sinking.
How are you fucking mental? How did I not see how mental you were?
Yeah, I know a girl who dated, like, who's dated like the worst guys in LA. Like literally, I used to say like, you only date villains, huh? And she like, she's like, I tried to make a turnover new leaf and I was dating the guy and then I found out or I realized that he was like a pathological liar and I just cut bait and left. And the fact that I could even do that was a big deal. But there are that we don't have, it's hard to know what people are like. And yeah, if you, once you realize you yeah, can't you gotta, bargain you with can't. Them, that's what they're like. There's not, it ain't, it's immutable. It's not going to change. If it does, it's through no effort of yours. It's an accident. So just, you just got to like, nope, sorry.
Good advice. Nope.
No, I know. And that's the thing I talked about on here before. It's like being able to discern what someone's probably like and your suspicion. And you're like, look. And then once you've already slept with them, that's where it's damn near impossible.
Yeah.
It's damn near impossible to get out of that without feeling like
an asshole.
An asshole. And they're very hurt.
Yeah.
Very deeply, extremely hurt.
That's why in this weird, twisted way, some like in a weird, not like a Machiavellian way, but I don't mind being broken up with. I haven't minded being broken up with.
It.
Even when I act, I'm just like.
It takes the. It's way easy. There's no guilt.
No.
There's just none. You're just like, oh, what's that? I'm bad. Well, I'm not no good. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
You can just move on a lot easier.
Probably.
It's like, I mean,
it's
perfect.
Like you don't, there's no upkeep.
No,
you don't have to worry about them. Can we just meet? Yeah. They never want to just meet if they break up with you. They don't ever want to see you again, as a matter of fact.
No, that's not true. But yeah.
Well, guys want to keep the lines open so they can sleep with you.
I mean, there has been overreaches outside of trying to fuck. I'm just like, dude. What? What's happening?
All right.
Anyways, but you know. People are weird.
Yeah, you just have to. You have to assume that it's not going to work.
No.
No.
Yes, I mean, you agreeing
have to,
with you.
You have to just
agreeing
like,
with you.
Well, the that's why it's the thing of like, will I find love? I hope so, but it's just getting to the point where I'm like, statistically, this seems seems pretty hard. I'm getting weirder.
Right.
I'm only getting weirder.
He's getting more worksheets.
Yeah. I've got schedules. I've got magnets. I'm getting weirder and women are getting more independence. This can't be good.
No.
I mean, honestly, I think the more independent women, women's expectations are getting higher and and I'm getting more peculiar. So it's like, what are the fucking odds this is going to work? Where I'm not even like I want something crazy, but just, it's a miracle. Anytime I've been in love with somebody, that's my takeaway. It's like, this is a fucking miracle.
We made it.
I don't know how this happened, but it's a blessed miracle. but I wish that for you guys on, because it's Valentine's Day. No, it's not. It's December. Again.
Okay.
We're in love.
We're in love. We
Leave
did
Leave us
it.
Alone. Privacy at this time.
He's taken,
we fell
ladies.
In love. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
We don't have to take the shit. We don't have to take the shit. Tell me how you feel.